Welcome to the patron Q&A for the month of November 2023. I feel like we've been doing these forever now.
We've been doing these for quite some time.
At least a few years now, or a couple of years.
Yeah. It's our monthly ritual to grab a burger and get caffeinated and then come onto these and talk.
Mm-hmm. Ingest stimulants and carbohydrates and then go ramble for a while. What is Brew yapping about the event?
I don't think we ramble. People have questions for us, and we have answers. The answers may ramble.
Yeah, that's right.
We're doing a thing, at least. Whatever.
We're getting paid to waffle, if you think about it.
My God. Already a question in the chat. How much sleep do you guys get? Frankly, I do not get enough.
It depends. It's a toss-up. Sometimes you can tell by my voice whether I've had 5 hours or 8 hours before the stream. And today, I sound like I've had 5 hours, but I actually was sick recently, so I'm just not talking normally anyway.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm glad I haven't come over and seen you for quite some time,
though. Yeah, no. If the stream was like a day or 2 days earlier, I would be in really... I'd probably be running no cam and push the talk or something for the stream. But now I'm that, good enough.
You'd have that gravelly noir voice. Welcome to Gutter EPG.
No, not quite that bad. But do you remember the meeting where I was on push to talk and I kept talking about like, okay, I got to stop to cough?
Yeah.
Yeah, that it would have been like that for the stream. So I'm glad it wasn't.
Ugh. Don't get me sick through the internet.
I will try. You never know. The bandwidth is pretty good these days. Anything could get through.
Sure.
All right. Enough of that. Let's get on to questions. As you probably know, you request to speak on the Discord stage, and we take questions in first-come, first-serve order. It can be about anything, but preferentially about the game. If you ask questions in the patron stage, we will probably ignore them, because the point is to get people interacting. In the text chat, I mean, we'll probably ignore them.
I'm here to talk to people. This is basically my form of speed dating, so get on up here.
This man is married, just to be clear.
That's true.
It's like nerd dating. He just wants to meet interesting people. All right, Closet Monster is kicking us off. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Not
so
too bad.
Really, the only question that I particularly have right now is if you can quantify it with the recent updates that are done to the inner workings of the game and the code, the stability, so on and so forth. If you can quantify it, how close would you say infantry is being added to the game?
Infantry is in a state where the very basic behaviors and building blocks are in, but they need refining. So it's hard to say exactly how close that is. Also, some systems have changed kind of out from under them. The rug was pulled by the engine upgrade. So the developer who's been taking charge of that push has had to go back in and rework a couple of things. I've seen infantry do successful engagements. They are functional, but we want them to be slightly nicer before we release.
I'll quantify it.
Okay.
60-80%.
60-80%? No, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a pretty reasonable estimate.
Do you think that's
I'd say it depends.
Got some buffer area, basically, including whatever you just said, because they're still actually going back and fixing a couple things from the latest upgrade.
Oh, yeah, and I should say it depends on what quality level you expect, because if you just want, like, model of man stands there and fires rocket at tank, that's been done for a while. If you want, like, the squad can navigate through obstacles without getting stuck, or you can attach to things and detach from them, or you can get in and out of vehicles, or the mission designer can send them to an objective on command. All that stuff, that's where the polishing comes in. So that's what we're working on.
And this is not including any of the... One of the things they have to actually go back and look at is some of the, the pathfinding and not getting stuck. We ditched a vegetation asset that was, one, a massive memory leak, and two, unsupported. And it did all of its own stuff inside of Unity. And now we're working with another set that leverages core Unity, but now we have to kind of undo a lot of that wiring.
So oh, yeah. That's the same. That's caused some setbacks. It's the same reason a lot of missions are slightly edited now.
Yeah.
It's because there were vehicle paths that used to go through small sections of trees that were just never a problem before. Because the old vegetation system, one of the features that worked in our favor was if you were pretty far away from trees, they just didn't exist physically. So AI, you know, 2 kilometers away could drive through the woods and you would never know or care and they would never run into anything. But now all the trees exist, whether you're looking at them or not, whether you're near them or not. And previously missed navigation issues are now like mission breaking problems. We had to go through every mission and try to find those issues. And then we released the unstable build. One of the things we were looking for in the unstable build on Steam was people playing missions and saying, oh, this is broken. They got stuck in the woods. And we managed to catch, I think, most of them that way. There might be a couple still left in the game. We'll get to them when we can. But it was like we had to rip the Band-Aid off at some point. There's just too much resting on ditching those old systems and moving to the newer engine.
I'm trying to think if I have any other questions right now.
All good.
Here's one. So I obviously don't really expect you guys to have, because it's been stated before, you're not going to have an official modding API, but seeing how people are coming out with mods nowadays, specifically like those T72B ones, M1A1s, so forth, how do you feel about that?
It's cool that people are trying stuff. I wish them the best of luck. We are too busy making the game to do any further kind of support, so if stuff breaks, sorry, that's just going to be how it is.
I may put in a feature or something in the future that they could just mod out, but it doesn't matter to me. I may put in the future something that scans for if Melon Loader is there, and if it is, just like put an asterisk or something in the version text. Something to denote that, hey, this game has been modded. Because the thing that kind of gets me, and I don't think the main folks who are doing this, would do this, but the thing that gets me is sometimes I look at that and I think, is that a bug? Is that a problem? Or, oh wait, who posted it? Oh, it's one of these modders. But that's not always going to last. Like, anyone could come in and modify something if they really wanted to. This is, you know, only a few people at the moment have really shared their stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point, though, because as the mods proliferate, it becomes harder for us to tell what's a screenshot of a legitimate glitch in the game and what's just somebody fucking around and posting like, guys, I did the funny. So
yeah.
If there's some kind of distinction that we can detect and then display an indicator for ourselves, that would be peace of mind. Like, okay, go ahead and fuck around, as long as it says on the screen, like, you know, there's the mod mark, we don't have to worry about that one.
Right. Something to just cut down on the confusion a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, last and final question of the three, I suppose. So for sounds, like engine sounds, gunfire sounds, stuff like that, two things. One, how do you guys make them? And then two, do you plan on improving them at some point in the future? Obviously, you have bigger stuff on your plate right now.
Mm-hmm.
But are they somewhere on the back burner?
So
I shoot all guns in my basement. Every one of them. I have each available weapon. And I'm slowly going deaf.
I'll give a fake answer and you can decide which one you like better. We have audio engineers who they have access to various libraries and real recordings and other sources as they see fit. They will mix them in a way that seems plausible for the weapon or system they're trying to depict, and then they will add those into the FMOD project for the game and set them up to scale or pitch shift or whatever is needed. Usually the results are pretty good. We've got a couple different audio engineers we've worked with. The current guy is the same one who did Epic Thunder for War Thunder. He's got quite a bit of experience. So yeah, it's coming along pretty well. As we do audio stuff, sometimes we go back and revise old stuff, sometimes we leave it. It depends how much time the audio guy has and what other audio stuff we have on the plate at the moment. It's hard to say which things from the game will be revisited or not. In general, I think everything is pretty okay. And there's a certain level you get down to where like, yeah, theoretically something could be improved, but we don't really care compared to the other things that we're supposed to be working on. It just depends whether we ever get to a point where we're concerned about that or not.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's all I have.
Yep.
Thanks for the questions.
All right. Next up is Toby Silverstone.
Oh, guys, just want to confirm you can hear me. There's a new mic.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, hold on. I can't hear you, though, for some reason.
Nope. Okay.
I'm going to have to drop, guys. I can't hear you for some reason, so sorry about that.
No worries.
Good question.
Next up is Joe. Next up is Joe the Pirate.
Yeah.
Hey. Yes.
Awesome. So I've got a couple questions, and so the first one, I know in the stream you talked about not wanting to add more button complexity, but how much of the queue menu are we eventually going to be able to set to keybinds if we want to?
It's unclear. There's some things in there that could be moved to keybinds at some point, some stuff that we, I don't think we would have a keybind for. For example, there's the restocking command. That's going to be expanded at some point to let you choose what to restock, because it's annoying to have it just cycle through random types of ammo when all you want is more Sabo or whatever. I don't think there would need to be a keybind for restock Sabo, for example. It's fine to have someone click the queue menu and do it manually. But then we'll probably also have a queue menu item for launch smoke grenades, and it would seem useful to have a keybind for that. So it's all subjective. It depends what we think of each feature.
Yeah, and I think that was sort of what I was thinking as well. Like, I don't think having keybinds for wedge formation 75 meter spacing
right
makes a lot of sense, but like the, like you said, smoke grenades or reset to battle site would be like, that was sort of along the lines of what I was interested in. And then sort of a question about how the AI is going to evolve. So right now the commander has god knowledge and instantly knows if a tank is knocked out. How is that going to evolve with the game? Like, how is the commander going to be able to decide ceasefire, move to the next thing?
It's also not clear if or when that would be revisited. Right now the commander has he will eventually just know the status of the vehicle, or he can know more immediately if he sees fire. In practice, what that means is a couple of seconds after the vehicle is officially killed, the commander just instantly knows that the vehicle's killed. That's a pretty okay situation, unless we really wanted to add the complexity of, you know, trying to guess whether the crew are still alive or if the vehicle could still move or whatever. I don't think it would meaningfully change the game in most situations. So that becomes one of those things where we really have to have a handle on the rest of the game and have it pretty complete before we started worrying about it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it's 90% of the time the system is really good, but it's like that 10% where it's, I mean, especially things like the BRDM, where not always clear if you killed with the Sabo round, where it's like, okay, I guess I have to trust him this time.
Yeah.
But here, see other people, so that's all I got for now. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we've got Foop48.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Yo. I have a quick question. One of the missions you play as a Bradley, and I think it's suggested, it's near towards the end of the mission, is that you reposition the other Bradleys in your platoon by manually selecting them, ordering them to stop, and then you drive them to the position you want them to be in. Do you have a plan in the works for that to be done more strategically or tactically, where you can position your other platoon vehicles around in a better position than
so,
how
like,
it is right now?
Give, by giving them a command from your own vehicle rather than taking over manually?
Sure.
Yeah, we've thought about some ideas for that. Part of it has to do with changes that we're making to the map, because if you were to do any kind of tactical stuff, it would probably be on the map. We only recently upgraded the map itself so that we can add more controls on top of it, and then we did the upgraded fire control or fire support interface. There's something that didn't make it into this recent update that's nearly ready, which some of the patrons have seen Git events for, which is a radio alert system for the AI. They will call in things that they see to command, and then command will relay information that they get back down to the platoon leaders. That will inform, one, it'll give the player some kind of info, probably on the map, like ping marks or something. We're still refining how those look. The other thing is, eventually, as we make the AI smarter, that information will affect how the AI behaves. So if you've been spotted trying to do a cheeky flanker on the whole map move, you might find that when you get to where the tanks are, they're looking for you already. They know that you're coming because the BRDMs radioed in their contact and command radioed down to the tanks and said, hey, there's some asshole over to the east, watch out. And there you are. So this is all going to change the structure of how the AI react, and then there's going to be most likely additional controls for how they behave just up front, like altering the plan if you so choose. So yeah, it's not going to stay the way it is forever. You're not always going to have to manhandle your guys to make sure they don't run off and do something stupid or never react to the situation. There's going to be some new tools.
That was really cool. I guess the last question I have is, someone mentioned earlier infantry, and you sort of talked about it, but I was wondering, how is infantry going to interact with the player? And like, are they just going to like go to the nearest cover, and when the tank rolls close enough, they're just going to launch some RPGs at it? Or are they going to be sort of more smart about it and like try to flank the tank or find a better position to kill the tank from?
So some of this depends on how much time we are willing to put into improving the AI agents that control them. I can tell you that at the very least, there will be a distinction between attacking and defending infantry, because defending infantry are usually pre-positioned in good cover and know where to expect the enemy from. They're going to have certain behaviors like popping up to take shots and trying to stay low when possible. They'll have certain weapons available for their job. You'll have RPG teams in places where RPG teams make sense to be. But that's all kind of a manual thing. Attacking infantry, they're mostly going to be at the mercy of their transports. So if there's a BRDM... BTR. If there's a BTR and its job is to bring infantry close to their objective and let them debark and attack... they have to survive the trip, and then when they get out, they're going to have a certain plan of movement. How complex that plan is depends on how much time we have to devote to specifically infantry AI. At release, they're probably just going to beeline for whatever mark they were told to attack. It's possible that later they'll be able to do some kind of staggered overwatch or seek cover or whatever, but I can't promise anything.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. I got next question. I'm covering for Toby Silverstone due to his mic issues. So, with civilians not expected to be added, will we see signs of civvies having been in the area, like abandoned cars and luggage detritus?
I feel like we get this one.
We do.
Semi-frequently.
We do, and we've definitely answered in the affirmative, because we want those areas to feel as though they were lived in. You're going through what used to be, you know, people used to live there, and we should reflect that.
Yep, but, so this is part of world detailing. This is kind of I'd almost consider it a polish item, and it depends on the art team having enough bandwidth to focus on it. Right now, the art team is still working on vehicles, mostly, and supporting infantry and equipment stuff. So I'm sure we'll get around to it eventually.
Right. Second part to his question is, are there plans for additional CAS aircraft being added to the game?
I imagine at some point, maybe. I mean, we haven't even used all the ones we have added to the game besides putting them in the random flyovers, they're not actually running missions yet. So I think what you'll see in the shorter term is eventually planes that were only spotted every once in a while, you know, doing a linear run over the battle, will suddenly start appearing in support missions. I think there's been screenshots captured of most of them, if you want to see what ones are coming, potentially. Some of them are better cast planes than others, but there's quite a variety.
All right.
Next is Grizzle.
Alright, so I don't know if this question has been asked before, but I wanted to ask, is pivoting going to be coming to tanks anytime soon?
You're talking about tracks going opposite directions, neutral steer?
Yeah.
It's likely. Early on in the creation of the driving code, there were some issues, and the person that was working on it at the time said, fuck it, let's just make them do forward turn, one side dead and one side rolling. And that fixed the issue, so they left it like that. In the future, it would be nice to go back and pick out which tanks were capable of actually doing true neutral steer and give them that ability. Like, I know the Abrams can do it. Bradley can do it. T-72 notably cannot do it. I think there's a way to set it up, but it was not used very much. But it's one of those things that's pretty far down the to-do list, so I can't tell you when that would happen.
And then I have one other one. So when you're turning your actual chassis, is the turret going to be able to like kind of get boosted by the chassis moving? Like if you're turning the turret to the right and your chassis is moving to the right, at the moment the turret just kind of sits still with the chassis. Is that going to be able to get like kind of
so
moving faster?
It depends. There's the stabilizer system has kind of an inertia factor to it. Not inertia like turning, but inheriting from the hull, like friction influence. That system is imperfect. There should be a way to make it give you a boost if you're going the same direction, but it's not always functioning right. So right now the safest thing is for them all to be like purely on their own momentum, kind of. They operate independently. If we go back and revise the way stabilizers and traversing work, which is likely, we'll probably also retune the way that system is. And you have to keep in mind that in real tanks, it's not as straightforward as you get a boost equal to the hull turning under the turret or whatever. There's the turret has weight to it, and it's on a skate rail and bearings, so it's not going to catch full friction necessarily from the hull. It depends how the mechanical system works for the traverse, whether it's able to actually like fully disengage and catch that extra momentum or not.
Gotcha.
That's probably going to be on a tank by tank basis, but we'll see how it goes.
I see. Alright. I think that's all I got.
Cool. Thanks for the question.
Thanks for the question.
Alright.
No one else? Alright.
There's some interesting lore about my lunch. Oh, never mind. We have a question coming.
Jesus.
Oh, no, we don't. No request. Okay, so I didn't actually finish my burger.
Shut up. Arctic Firefox. What's up?
Arc Firefox. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you.
I'm curious. What's the details about this lunch of yours?
No, so I didn't actually... God,
finished my burger.
I do have some actual questions, though, but
okay, go
still,
ahead.
We want to know about that lunch.
Go ahead with the question.
All right, starting off here. Will we see any additional fun details added to the game as missions go on, such as brass for machine guns on top of vehicles?
There are several kinds of brass that haven't been added yet, actually, now that you mention it. I think there's 25mm and 30mm casings ready to go in, and I just haven't hooked up the ejection yet on Bradley in BMP2. So yeah, to answer that question, yes, they're actually, I think at any time that I remember to do it, it could be done.
Nice, yeah, that's going to be very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right, next question. It's all about infantry. So, do you have any plans for them to have, like, a wounded mechanic? Like, if they just take increase and hit to the arm? Or are they just going to, for now, drop dead with any bullet strike?
There is a wounded state. It's essentially the same as the crew having their critically wounded state, where they're just unconscious and able to do anything. Except in the current animation set, you can actually see them moving, the infantry. Like, you can tell they're not dead, but they're also not going to get back up and fight. I imagine that's going to stay unless we end up, like, completely replacing the animation pack and that one doesn't come back or something. But it's very likely that they're going to have a down and not out state that they'll just stay in.
Gotcha. All right, well, I have one more question for you.
Alrighty.
I forgot to ask this one way back at the before our previous April Fool's Day event, but I was thinking it might be funny. Inspired by the dead parrot skit from Monty Python, if your vehicle takes a hit so bad, it'd be funny to see if we have randomly generated text that describes on how bad your tank is destroyed, like this tank is no more and stuff like that.
What, like post-mission?
Yeah, post-mission.
This tank is not pining, it has passed on.
It has passed on. It has ceased to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, the third time that skit has been referenced that I've seen this weekend. And you did it once, Action. So
I didn't bring it up. I just responded to someone else posting it.
That's bullshit. This is this is some kind of scheme against me.
This is just frequency illusion.
You know it.
Anyway.
All right, well, that's all I got.
Thanks for the questions.
Yeah.
All right, Grizzle, you're back on.
Good. Save me from...
Since no one else is asking questions, how far is, like, impact decals from being in the game?
It's so close, yet so far. It's, We have a system that we know works in some way. We actually tested it, like, quite a while ago. And said, okay, mm-hmm. Neat, we should revise that at some point and get it in. And then there were more important things to do. I don't know when it's going to move back up to the top of the list. I know it will happen by step, what is it, 7 on the roadmap, enhanced destruction, or is that later?
Yeah.
Something on there. So by the time we get to enhanced destruction on the roadmap, that will become a priority. If it happens sooner, that would be a bonus, but I wouldn't promise.
Yeah, because I've seen the little like smoke coming out of the holes. Like if you shoot like a BTR, like in the Bradley or something, you'll see little holes or like smoke come out of the holes you shoot. Yep.
It works on tanks too with Sabo and Heat.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's so you can very clearly tell that the game knows where the holes are. It's just that we don't have any marks for them yet.
I see. All right. Well, that's all I got. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Next up is FIPA? I don't know how you say this. Okay, there you go.
Oh, wait, I have to click in another window. Okay, yeah. It doesn't actually ask you to accept the invitation in the same window as
it's kind of
damn Q&A.
It's kind of an unfortunate system, but that's how Discord is.
I was mostly curious about how you've been planning on doing the infantry AI. It's obviously going to probably change a lot, but are you going to go with like a squad only AI, or are you going to have a little bit of simulation on like the per pixel Truppen level as well?
So there's two levels involved. One is the squad level, which controls the movement and general tactics. And then there's individual level, which controls each soldier's navigation to make sure they can get around obstacles and hold formations, and also each soldier's targeting. So the AT guy will have a different brain, and he can target tanks and stuff. Each rifleman will be able to shoot at individual stuff. So they kind of work as a group and also work as individuals, but they never exist only as individuals. They're always at least in a group. I think the smallest we've done is a group of 2 for an RPG team.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was mostly wondering because it's an issue if you've played like Arma or something where they only have the squad level brain doing most of the reactions as well. So if you dome a dude, the guy next to him might just not do anything for 5 or 6 seconds until the squad AI runs its next tick.
Oh, gotcha. That's, I mean, you might see shortcomings like that if there's a lot of infantry and there's only so many AI cycles to go around, but it won't be because of the squad versus individual level. It'll just be because each soldier's AI has to wait its turn in the cycle.
Yeah, so only the AI sim step-like cycle, yeah.
Yep, I mean, we'll try to optimize it so that there's no noticeable delay, but it depends how many people we put in and what the situation is, so you can't really say yet.
Yeah, of course, if you dump like 1,000 dudes on the scene, there's obviously going to be some kind of AI lag, but well, I'm just comparing it to Arma because that's what I've got a bunch of experience with, but if you have like 100 AI dudes, it starts being noticeable.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's basically all my questions at the moment, so thank you.
All right, no problem.
Thank you.
Next up is Arc Firefox again.
Here we go. Hello, I am back.
Yes, you
What's
are.
What's up?
I have one more question for you.
All right.
Throughout the campaign, as your forces get worn down, is there a chance that we could see captured vehicles be pressed into service?
Captured vehicles, like they repaint it and send it back out against the side that used to own it?
Yeah.
I would say almost definitely not.
Fair.
Yeah, that's pretty rarely done in real life. I know there's cases of it in World War II or whatever, but if you think about the logistics chain that has to happen to support a vehicle and how the side that captured the vehicle would not have any of that in place, it just doesn't make any sense.
Nothing would be standardized. You wouldn't have the ammo for it. You'd have to be playing a scrounging game.
You'd have to retrain your crew. Yeah, there's too much. Not to mention, even if you repaint it, like, friendly fire is such a big possibility. Like, hey, look over there. It's a fucking Abrams. Let's kill it. Oh, it was ours? Well, that's dumb.
Alright, cool.
Yeah,
that's all I had. Thank you.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Next up, it gag.
Yep, greetings.
Greetings.
So, we already have the unlockable main screen menu with the T-64. And maybe this question was already asked plenty of times, but will we be having more unlockable stuff, not microtransactional one, like achievable, if we will get achievements later on?
It I don't know if they'll be strictly tied to achievements, but it is very likely that there will be more menu screen options that will become available through future stuff. Now that we've actually started using that feature again, I think it would be cool to have more than two options in the cycle.
I think it would be cool to just have more than unlockable things in there, just have standard
standard ones
we can have. Yeah, we could make up some set pieces on it.
Oh,
as far as like achievements go, yeah, down the road is more of a question for achievements. We certainly wouldn't have gameplay or other pieces tied to it, I don't think, but closer to 1.0, I think we could probably think of what achievements might be.
Yeah.
All right, and another question, since there was a question about keybinds. So, is there a problem to make a DCS style of keybinds? Like, you just dropped every possible action into the keybind menu, completely unbinded, but if the player wants to have it binded, then he can have it.
Yeah, there is a problem. It takes a lot of time to find every possible action in the game and make it a keybind, even if it wasn't already, and we've got other things to work on.
Yeah, and that also means that even if we made it optional for people who wanted to do that, That would kind of mean we'd have to support two different kinds of gameplay. The more accessible, like, I wouldn't say limited, but standard keybind system that we currently have, and then one that is tons of different options if they so wanted to do that. Like, it makes more work for us, for a small amount of people who would find that to be cool and maybe not even use it. So, just doesn't really work out.
All right, that's all I have then. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next up is Toby Silverstone. Toby, now I can't hear you.
I can't hear you either.
I see the green thing lighting up, but you're not coming through.
It was a good attempt, Toby. It's just not in the cards this time.
Yep.
If you want to ask another question, I will read it from chat.
I'm promoting
you for you this time.
Oh, damn it. I was gonna say I'm promoting you to Toby Silvergone, but you already, or he left.
Oh my god. All right, fine. Just tell me about your burger. Just do it.
Okay, so I only had so much time. Natalie was really nice and she got me a burger, just knowing that I would want one. And then I ate it, but then I had to stop eating it to get ready for the stream. Isn't that riveting? Like,
oh my God.
I only managed to have half of my lunch?
I can't believe I gave you this opportunity, and you just wasted. Give me back my 30 seconds.
Dude, if you were a true friend, you would care about what happens in my life.
Jesus. Oh, God.
How was your burger?
It was fine, and that's all I have to say about it, because it was a sandwich.
Will this lore be in the campaign as well?
Oh my god.
Alright.
We have actually thought of, before we get to your question, we have actually thought of little things like that, electables and stuff that you could find, like rations that you might be able to have. They wouldn't be like usable in any way. But you could, like, go and see, like, oh, I found this little thing, this Coke bottle, this, you know, detritus or something.
I wasn't sure what you were going for at first. I was like, we have not discussed having my half-eaten lunch in the game. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Plush Enjoyer, what's up?
All right, so this is actually in reference to my name. So will you guys be including any little plushes inside of the game as, you know, as Easter eggs or collectibles or whatever.
Fortnite, almost. Let's go. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I would say probably not at all. I don't think our art lead would want to do anything like that. I don't think it really fits into the style of the game. And
breaks my heart.
While it would be cool to have something like that as merch, for the most part, a lot of those things are like dropshipped. And, like, you gotta set up, like, a little campaign and reach a certain amount or some bullshit.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's
just go on Etsy and you'll find someone. Someone will make you a plush of whatever esoteric tank or ammunition that you want. Because there's a lot of artists out there who want money.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck for y'all. I just had to ask that question with the first Q&A I ever got to be a part of, so. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Really? Well, thanks.
Thanks for coming. Yep. I know Zomboid did it. They have, you can get, like, plushy Spiffo in the game, and then they also sold it in real life, which is neat.
Yeah.
But I don't think it fits ours.
I remember that people gave them shit for, like, oh, why aren't you working on the next update? And the dev was basically like, fuck off, I'll do what I want.
Yeah, so that's it's hard to do anything once you get a certain level of attention. We have not hit it yet.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of popularity where you get like a critical mass of assholes in the player base, and they'll just sound off at literally anything that you do or don't do. Hey, we took some time to have our marketing guy make this new thing. Ah, why didn't you work on the game instead? Well, we did. We
yeah.
did work on the game instead. There's more than one person working.
Anyway, jerks.
That's just the life of a game developer in the age of social media.
A content creator of any kind.
Yeah, really. Any public figure. Fleetwood Fisher, what's up?
What's going on, guys? I said this earlier as a joke, but I kind of warranted some extra thought I didn't think I'd have on it. This is just think of it as like food for thought, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Way down the line, you know, past full release, past whatever you guys have in planned, you know, just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
First World War DLC?
Oh, God. You know, we usually reject the World War II DLC idea, but now that you've taken it even further into the past, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't know. I said it as a joke earlier, but I was like, you know what? That'd be pretty unique.
It'd be a cool gag. There are a lot of cool those kinds of games out there that have not really garnered a lot of, like, a lot of people look at them as memes, basically. And then if we were to go into the depth of Gunner Heat PC that we would do, you know, that kind of depth for something in World War One, it would only be kind of cool because there's only like four different tanks that people could use or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would be fairly limited. And yeah.
We just have to find some angrily flamboyant British voice actor for the crews. Load shot, gonna target that trench.
Do some French voices. But in any case, yeah.
Thanks,
cool
guys.
Gag, but we'll see. Thanks.
Next up is Joe the Pirate again. Are you here to ask if we are going to add a pirate themed DLC?
You beat me to that one by 2 seconds.
Oh my god.
No, but so, like, my actual question was, for future DLC, is the idea that there's going to be the Gunner Heat PC alternate timeline, or is it just, oh, this looks fun, kind of anthology style?
We've got several ideas in the pipe, and many of them are fictional twists on real situations. Kind of like how the main theater is Cold War Gone Hot, which never happened, but it's very closely based on reality. A lot of our other ideas are like that as well.
Sure. Well, that's all I got for today.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
The fun thing about some of our ideas that we've had is that, maybe not fun, maybe just terrifying. You don't have to change that much before there's a conflict.
Yeah.
That can just kind of erupt.
You
and
can
it's
just
like.
You can pick a moment in history and say, but what if they didn't agree to disagree and they just got madder and then there's a whole war?
Yeah. What's up, Nico?
So you said that if we go further back in time, there is a higher likelihood that we can see it. So is this a way to confirm that we are getting the Leonardo da Vinci tank in the game?
That'd be a very cool meme, honestly.
I don't, like, here's the problem. That thing is too overpowered, right? Because no armor is best armor, as everyone knows. And so without any kind of significant ballistic resistance, there'd just be no way to stop it.
You just have several squads of infantry, and they have to get to an objective, and the opposition is only Leonardo da Vinci tanks.
Yep.
And they're all creaking around.
It's 360 degree field of fire, like a panopticon.
Yep.
And yeah, it's basically just a bloodbath. So
now that I said that, I don't even want to code the fire control system for that. So I'm going to leave that to modders to put together.
Yes, yes, modders will fix this.
I did not have a question. I just came to shitpost.
Wonderful.
You can eat me.
Wait, do you have any final thoughts? Alright. Man knew what was up.
Oh, boy. Just yeeting him like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wrecking his whole day. Do we have anything to leak or show any more detail of telephony plans for this?
I have cool leaks that would make their art lead very mad, and then I'm not sure about more reasonable ones.
Yeah. It's a balancing act. If we leak so much, the art lead might leave.
Let me see if I can find a reasonable leak.
We can also just go with plans. Like, I feel like we did that last month and it went fairly well.
Did I show the water shader in the past already?
Did you?
I can't remember. I feel like I did show it somewhere, but I don't know.
I think that's fine.
Let me see if I have a good clip.
Yeah. When will you be adding the leak to GHPC? That's not a bad idea.
Did they have leak fields in Germany?
It's not a great idea. That's not a bad idea.
It's not a particularly good idea.
Yeah. It's a mid idea.
Mm-hmm.
Can we shoot the leak? Now I want someone to mod a different round model in, so it's a leak firing out of Sabo.
Hold on, I have to see which of these clips is actually suitable for preview.
Which is fair.
This is annoying because I have a clip that shows really cool surface effects, and I have a clip that shows a vehicle causing disturbance, and I don't have both in one. I guess I could post two clips.
Nah, I just go with one.
Okay, you'll have to imagine the vehicle, then I'll post the disturbance one.
If it turns out Art Lee didn't want us to show either of them, showing one will only get you half in trouble. That's right. I'm using parent logic on this one.
That, I don't know if that's true.
Sure.
Or I could show an early look at Coincidence Rangefinder for the T-64.
Oh.
Okay. Although I think I might have shown that in general channel already. So it's not actually a...
Just do it.
Yeah, just for everybody who hasn't seen it. Alright, yeah, that's probably safer. Let me find that. We do have time for another question, though. Because it's...
We do.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to come up, we got about 5 minutes left, give or take a couple. Now people are just posting leak burger recipes in chat.
Don't talk to me about burgers. I haven't finished my lunch yet.
Oh, I finished mine. It was pretty good.
Talk to him about burgers.
These juicy beef burgers may be super simple to prepare. I'm not going to continue on that route. Oh, thank God. Foop.
All right, hi. Very important question. What is in the burger?
What kind of burger is it? Glad you asked. It has Swiss cheese, lettuce, tomato, and pickle slices.
Swiss?
Yes, I subbed out the American cheese for Swiss.
You subbed out American for a worse cheese on a burger?
Yep, I did.
Ugh.
American cheese is like, it's almost too tacky at that point because it's a classic Coney burger with just all of the regular ass ingredients. Swiss makes it kind of interesting, kind of cool, you know, like what if it was almost like sophisticated, you know, like not really, but you know, what if?
For anyone who's listening to this and wondering what a Coney burger is, in the Metro Detroit area, there are things called Coney Islands. They're like Greek diners. And I don't know why they're called that, they just are.
Yep, you can get any, like, mid-as-fuck regular meal there with fries. It's pretty good.
Oh, it's hyper-cheap, though. Like,
yeah.
In general, they're all kind of different places, too. And they usually have different menus. But they got some of that standard diner fare. And it's relatively cheap to go and just get something. Much better than Waffle House.
Much, much. Okay, where's the goddamn preview?
Oh, you got something else there, Foop?
No, I was asking what burger you got.
Oh, I just got a sandwich from Arby's.
Oh.
You got Arby's?
I got Arby's. What's wrong with Arby's? They have the meats.
Yeah, I guess. I thought they were like pretty not that great these days.
I mean, I don't eat it all the time, but it was the closest thing.
Yeah, I see.
Was Arby's ever good? Javi is an Arby's kind of guy. Fuck. Now I've got lore surrounding this. Is a sandwich, everyone. Get off my case about it. All right. Any other questions?
Finding the thing.
All right. I'm going to eat you now unless you eat yourself.
I'll eat myself.
Good man. Zengladius, 31.
I have one simple question. Can we merch?
Sorry, I cut you off there. Can we what?
Get a hat for the merch.
Oh, I think there's a hat available on Redbubble.
I looked at the hat options on Redbubble and they were kind of shit. I don't remember if I left any of them enabled or not. If not, then we'd have to get them from somewhere else.
What kind of hats? Like, what kind of hat are you thinking?
Just some, like, little ball caps or baseball caps.
Okay. Well, I'll look back into it. Maybe they've changed up their quality. If it's really that bad, you think
it looks really that bad? Yeah, the preview showed just like a regular ass hat with a screen print on it. It wasn't like embroidered or anything. It wasn't even like a solid color. It was like weird two-tone, like it's forced to be white on the front of it, and I don't know, it just didn't look right.
I'll see what we can do.
Thanks. That's all I wanted.
Cool.
The people are clamoring for leaks, so I'm just going to post this. I finally found it. This is a very old clip, and the rangefinder zone is the wrong size. But I'm going to have to type that because someone's going to look at it later and be like, guys, it didn't look like this.
That is how I talk.
Yes. How did you know I was speaking about you specifically?
I know you were.
So disclaimers, the rangefinder area is supposed to be larger, and there would be no laser rangefinder indicator.
I'm gonna let you post that. Geg, come on down.
Mm-hmm. Greetings again. It's not the question about the leak burgers. So, will there be any like a filter for instant action missions? Because right now it's a pain in the ass to find some mission with the tank name.
Absolutely. I agree. It is a pain in the ass. We would like to do some sort of filtering, and we've actually had talks on changing up that UI. Filtering for, you know, team, type of vehicle being used, or potentially available to be used. It's not the highest priority right now, as we are trying to focus on a couple of things to work on before January. But yes, I want it changed as well, because it's a really good idea.
All right. Thanks for the answer.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
All right, I posted a video clip in the patron voice chat channel, which is no longer used for voice chat. We've just turned it into the leaks channel.
You should probably just call it patron leaks.
Yeah, probably.
What am I looking at here?
All right, so this is a very old clip when we first tested the shader for the split image coincidence rangefinder. You can see it's just overlaid on the T-72's gun sight. In fact, this is kind of like what I was talking about on the stream. This is what the T-64 sight is more or less going to look like, but it won't have the little red ring for aiming the laser rangefinder, and that split image circle in the middle will be larger. You'll be able to turn it on and off because it was on a separate eyepiece in the real tank. The gunner could open and close his eye to overlay that rangefinder in the view or not. So you'll be able to toggle it on and off just like you can with the M60.
Oh. Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It'll otherwise be exactly how it's demonstrated here. You manually adjust the range until the image lines up, and then you fire, and your shot hits.
I like this NATO-packed feature like comparison setup. It's like, you have Stadia Rangefinder? Well, I'm gonna have this, and it's gonna split.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck you.
Yeah. Also, NATO and PECT, I think, both used different versions of coincidence rangefinders, and they tended to disagree on what was a primary and what was a backup. Like, the T-64 favored the split image mode, and the Leopard 1, I think, had a choice between Ghost and Split, or maybe it was a different tank, I don't know, but they, like, picked different priorities. So M60 had the Ghost image, T-64 had the split image, T-72 early had the split image. It was even the same site, actually. The T-64 and the early T-72, which we don't depict. Anyway, that's all lore. It's all deep lore.
When was this clip made? Because I see the old compass there.
Yeah, if you look at the version stamp, this is the patron version yeah. from, I think, just before Steam release.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we've had that shader ready for a long time, but the T64 itself wasn't ready. When we say that we're always working on stuff and we're not ready to show it, this is an example. Imagine if we had, like, put a coincidence split image rangefinder in a trailer or something before the game even came out on Steam. People would be like, where the hell is T64? We know you have it. We saw it in the trailer. Like, you know, sometimes stuff isn't ready yet.
And we kind of see, or rather, you guys can kind of see the pattern of, we're always working on stuff, meaning if one of those items gets blocked, there's more than enough other stuff to just go to and start working on. That means that one of those blocked items might not get readdressed until it's actually required.
Yeah. We do have one more request to speak. I'm going to allow it because we started a little after one. And that'll
yeah,
be
this is a quest, like a quick shot question anyway.
Yep.
Best burger you can imagine or have had? Go.
There's some
and
really...
then he just leaves. He just asks that and leaves.
Okay. He's just trying to pad the runtime, honestly.
I guess.
So there's some pretty good restaurant burgers I've had. I can't place a specific one, but usually it's like a bacon cheeseburger and not too drippy, just kind of like fresh ingredients and well packed.
Oh boy. I feel like this question changes from like different points in my life. Like, if I was a kid, I'd just be like, McDonald's, fuck you if you don't like it. when I was in college, there was this joint. This is like a hole-in-the-wall bar that only allowed you to put onion, cheese, and pickle on a burger. And they sold them, like, 3 for $10 or something. It was just a griddle, and then that's all they had, and then you order drinks. And those things are fucking amazing. But then, like, now, boy... just whatever's available. It's got to be a really bad burger for me to just not be like, oh, this is pretty good.
A lot of them are too juicy and not in a good way. It's just like absolutely dripping. Every ingredient's a little wet and it's overloaded. And then they put sauce on it too. Like, I don't like that kind. I like when they've got... They're well composed. Everything is a reasonable amount. They're all fresh ingredients and... you know, nothing stupid. That's a good burger.
Yeah, add this to the lore. Action does not like any sauces on his burger. So mayo, ketchup, mustard, not a thing for him.
Yeah, I like a burger that stands on it, just the seasoning and the ingredients. I don't want to just eat a ketchup sandwich, you know.
I'd eat a ketchup sandwich. I mean, hunger is the best spice in all of these regards.
That's true. We went to a Coney the other week, and we were both ravishingly hungry, and we were like, wow, this is the best burger I've ever had. But it was just a fucking Coney burger.
Yeah, it's just normal burger. Coney twice in one Q&A. Wow.
They should be paying
us. You do
want
to finish that. Honestly. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? We want to do one more question, or is that it?
No, we already did. We already did the one more question.
Okay, good.
So let's just... thanks, everybody, for paying money to hear us ramble about our lunch.
Jesus.
We really appreciate it. Hope you guys are enjoying the progress of the game. And as always, thank you for your support. It is above and beyond, and we love you.
Much appreciated. Thank you, and see you guys next month.
Adios.